This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dead camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got.
I'm fragile. I feel pain. I hurt. I open my eyes. I create. I conquer. I hold the power. I'm a thinker. I crave victory. I do not give up. I feel no fear. I fear no man. I'm an athlete, a warrior, an artist.
Everybody wanna be a beast! Everybody wanna be a beast! Until it's time to do what beasts do. Until it's time to do what beasts do. Everybody want to be a beast. Everybody got a lot. Tattoos of lions. Lions all on their Twitter face. But everybody got the lion thing on their tweet now. Roar. But when it's time to practice, you ain't on beast mode. Let me say this and I'm getting out of here. Can I be real with y'all? Most of y'all think that a lion is who he is because of how ferocious he is when he catch that gazelle, or when he catch that zebra. Can I be real with y'all? A part of being a beast just ain't eating a gazelle. A part of being a beast is the hunts. It's the hunt that they're excited about. They like to see the gazelles run. Then boom, they take off. Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process, just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process. A real man in the dark, when nobody's watching, he putting in work. A real man in the dark, when nobody's watching, he putting in work. A real man, when coach ain't even watching, he studying film on his own. Because he loves the process. If you will be a champion, if you will be a beast, you're going to have to go through something. Ain't nobody going to hand you nothing. Ain't nobody going to hand you no championship. Ain't nobody going to hand you no title.
Can I get an amen? How's that a way to start a show? I am recording this show, guys, for Trappin' Radio on New Year's Day. And there's some things going on kind of in my world that's kind of set the tone a little bit, which I'm going to get into a little bit because it's made me think. Because every now and then stuff happens in everybody's life and it makes you think in ways that you may not do on a normal basis. And today we're going to talk a little bit about trapping, but we're going to talk a little bit about, well, mostly about the mindset to be a better trapper, a person, and everything like that. Because if you don't think that matters on your trapping, I promise you, you're never going to be anywhere near your full potential. Because I don't care if it's athletes or military or trapping or, I don't know, a polka player or polka dancer, I guess. The mental part is always more important. That's why when I wrote the book, Mindset of a Professional, that was kind of more of what I learned up to that time of what it was to actually be a professional money trapper. And, you know, if you've never seen it, there's a chapter in there that's the shortest chapter in any trapping book in the world, as far as I know. It's the chapter's name is Acceptable Excuses. It's a blank page, and on the very bottom it says that about covers it. That's the mental way that someone has to look at something if they're going to be that goal-orientated when it comes to their trapping. So we're going to lean towards that on this show. And I'm going to have some different things that I'm going to plug in that's not going to be me. And it's going to, to some guys are going to be turned off by this. Some guys are going to be motivated by this. Some guys, I promise you, are going to be highly aggravated at this. But all I can do is something that I think to a lot of people is going to be helpful, and to some it's not. And to the some it's not, I'll be honest with you, I feel sorry for you. Because it's life's too short to be on cruise control. And so we're going to get in a little bit of that. And hey, Trappin' Radio is a Clintatorship, so I get to do things the way that I want to do them. And for some reason, I just feel like this is the right thing to do today. So before we get into that, I've got a letter from a young man that I'm going to read and answer some questions for that he sent me. Imagine that. Someone actually sent a letter instead of an email. It's kind of novel in today's world. But before I do that, I want to touch on something, because this is kind of like a small call to action. You can do this on Facebook. I'm under Clint Locklear on Facebook. You can email me at Clint@WolfRNation. Some ideas I have on something. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and we're kind of bouncing this idea around and different things like that. And I don't know what I'm going to call this thing yet. It could be the Trapper's Co-op. It could be, I don't know what's going to call it. So hadn't come up with a cool name that I'm excited about yet, so we're just going to call it the Trappers Co-op. What I'm looking to do, if you own a business and you want to get more customers to come to you, I want you to email me or call me and let's discuss what this is in more detail. Because if you own a business and you sell product, and it doesn't have to necessarily just be trapping, but if you've got an outdoor store or you're selling, I don't know, like I remember Probst talking about his beef jerky, or trapping, snares, lure, it doesn't really matter what it is. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a membership, and it will cost money because I'm going to have to pay my computer guy to do all this, but it's not going to be very much, and I'm going to make sure that you understand that you're going to get way more value for that money than just buying something. So the plan's kind of simple. If you sign up, it's probably going to be around $29.99 or something like that. To be a member of this thing, that's every year to be $29. Every year, I will come up with things that will give you more value than that $29, and I'm going to explain that in a second. But if you're a business owner, or you want to get in business, or you're not really a business, but you've got a product that you just want to get people interested in a way that they're going to want to see what you're doing, I would suggest that you get in touch with me, because I have a way to do this where it's not going to cost you a penny to me, or in advertising, or in anything like that, but it'll be a way that can drive traffic to you to help you find customers that want your stuff, and it'll give you an unfair advantage in the market. So just keep that in mind. Now, if you're on the trapper side and you're not on the business side of this thing, here's what I'm asking you to do. And I'm going to ask some questions like this on Facebook. So I want to be able to, for us to try this, because, and the reason I'm doing this, guys, is people that listen to Trapping Radio to me are really more to me than just IPOs out there that log on or whatever like that. So it's really helped me out as far as different ways in my trapping business and my life, to be honest with you. And I want to find a way to give those people a lot of value. So what I'm looking to do, and I'm going to give a couple examples just to get your mind flowing on this. If you're a member of whatever we're going to call this thing, and you want to sign up, but you want to know, well, why would I give any money? What I'm going to do, if you buy a video from me right now, $39, whatever it is, what I want to do is there's some really unique things that I think that I could show in video, but it's not a video type quality as far as not the filming, but the overall strategy. Like a lot of the questions that I get that may be interesting to you, like we did a show on coyote trap placement. I could do a video on just that one specific thing, or a bobcat set, so you really cut down on your misses, or different things like that. It'll be extremely detailed. It'll be extremely pertinent to that particular type thing right there. And the only people that'll get to see this information are people that are members. So if I get a couple hours or an hour of video that I would sell for $39 and it costs you $29, you've already got more value in that. But there'll be more than just one thing, I promise you that, whenever we kick this off. But what I'm asking you, if you could ask me anything that you're unclear of, and I won't be able to do all of it, but if something just intrigues you, whether it be something on business or something in trapping, because I could mix the two, because you would have the option to watch all of it that's behind the scenes that no other trapper gets to see. But I can pick these different subjects and really drill down on them and give you everything that I know. And there's probably going to be some questions that I don't know, so I won't be making stuff up and trying to do it that way. But if there's things that you would really like to know that's not in normal videos, just because the way videos are set up, would you be, what would those particular things be? Like, to me, one of the biggest things I can tell from the email is, how I look at a set to know where to put the trap. And they're all different. So there'd be a bunch of different situations and different type terrains that I would film. Why I'd put the trap here, what the coyote's going to be doing, how to guide him, how to block him, how to get him to step where you want him to step, different things like that. How I go about, especially when I'm doing predator control, where I've got to catch those coyotes. So if there's something like that that you think would be off the charts helpful to you, let me know on Facebook, let me know on email, you know, something like that, or in the comments under the radio show, something like that. That way I can kind of judge, because I don't want to do this just because it's going to be something to help other businesses like that. I want the person that joins this to get way more value than their money is. I want them to get where they can get $200 or $300 worth of value for the $29.99 or whatever that price ends up being. Plus, if you're a trapper, what I'm going to be talking to these other businesses about, I don't want them to pay me any money. That's not the service that I'm offering here. What I'm going to do to these other customers is I want to bring them on board on this co-op, and I want them to give what they would give to me directly to the listener of Trapping Radio. I'm going to be completely out of the mix as far as discounts. So if you're, and I'm going to pick on somebody here because he's a student of mine, and I don't think he'll get his feelings hurt. And if he didn't want to do it, I'm fine with it too. He'll have his reasons whether to do or not. When I buy snares to go to Texas, I buy them from Chubb's Trapping Supply. And he does a really good job for me, and he does stuff like that. I'm getting questions all the time. Where do I get snares? Yada, yada, yada. So what I would do is say, Chubbs, okay, you're going to be in the membership thing. You're going to have a code that's going to work on your website that my web guy is going to help you do, if you don't know how to do it, with a coupon type thing. So if someone's in the membership, and only in the membership, and they want to buy snares from you, they can get them at a 5 or 10% discount, or 20, or whatever you decide that you want to do. Now, what that's going to do is, just knowing how trappers are, and no one get their feelings hurt, every one of us is the same way. We want the most value for our money, and a lot of times, trappers are borderline on the cheapness side. That's just a fact. So if Chubbs wanted to get more snare business off all the people that listen to Trapping Radio, they'll know that if they're a member of this co-op, they can go inside the co-op that they're a member of. They can see what he offers, see what the discount is. Now, what that does for Chubbs is, there's probably going to be people buying from him that would not look at him otherwise, just because of footprint on the internet and shows and different things like that. So I hope that kind of makes sense. But it doesn't have to be just with... So I'm going to go, I'm going to try to take this to a lot bigger level. Well, it's not just trapping supplies. It could be hunting supplies. It could be prepper supplies. It could be stuff for boats, you know, like Golden Hawk on the canoes, if he's interested with it. I'm going to be hitting up Yes You Chip down in Mississippi on your Expand-A-Pans, our regular sponsors, different things like that. So as a member, because you're going to be buying trapping supplies anyway, it's a way for you to save money and get way more value than you ever could. Because I can tell you from my analytics on my site that the average trapper that I can tell, and keep in mind, I'm only selling lure and DVDs. The average sale over a course of a year is $200. So 10% off of that per se, and I'm going to have it on my own stuff, that's a $20 savings right there in 1 year. Then you're going to get the other videos, plus then you'll be able to go to some other dealers that you're going to be buying stuff anyway, because I don't sell traps and snares and stuff like that, and you'll be able to get a discount on them, so you'll get way more value. So I hope everybody kind of understands kind of what this is. I've got David the computer guy working out all of the security issues and different things like that right now. But if what would you like to know as a trapper that would really just rock your world, and it's, or something that's not normally talked about in DVDs or not explained very well in books, let me know what that is, and I'll try to figure out how to do a lot of those in this extra value part that'll be free to you as a member of this co-op. If you're in business, you want to jump on this, and if you don't, I'm going to have to question your sanity, because if you're so small-mindedness in the way that you're thinking, well, 5 or 10%, I'm going to lose that money. No, you're not. You're going to make money, because a lot of the customers that will be coming to you aren't coming to you right now. So it could be 95% more money than you're getting right now. So don't think small-mindedness or don't let greed get in there on that. If you want to build a lot of customers, you got to give them a reason to, and I'm helping you do that. So that's what the co-op is. Now we're going to go to this letter, and this is from Patrick T. He's at a school in Nashville. He's 14 years old. He's got the trapping bug a year ago. And he says, I specialize coyote trapping because it's a challenge. I caught my first one last year and was absolutely hooked. I use big traps, huge pans, and love it. After using number two coals, I'll never go back. One problem I've come up with is gray fox. They dance all over the set, dig up the trap. I know the importance of properly bedding a trap and understand this may be an issue, but I saw it a power bedded trap, and I'm going to go to that. If you don't know what power bedding is, you can Google it. I don't want to go into all that. To me, I'm not the gray fox guy. I wish I was, Patrick, but I'm not. I catch a lot of them when they're around, but I don't really target them per se because that's not really in my wheelhouse, because normally coyotes and bobcats are kind of more my real deal. But I have trapped for them, and I've learned some things, and maybe this will help you. What I've noticed, even with a good, solid bedded trap, if the dirt is hard all the way around it and fluffy over the trap, as soon as the gray fox, especially coons and skunks will do it too, when they go from hard to soft and it's not in a natural type way, they think something's down there, and it's normally grubs or something like that, or it could be where mice have, I mean not mice, but rabbits have dug a den, if you've ever seen how that looks out in the wild, and they're going to scratch it up just to see what it is, and they're going to run into your trap. So most of the time, it's not that the trap is moving, it could be, but it sounds like you got your bedding down pretty good. It's fluffy on top and it's hard everywhere else. Now, a lot of ways you can do that, if you use a pan cover, even with the big pans, and you pack and pack and pack everything around that, and then you don't use as much dirt, so they're not sinking in as much, and then you go to something natural on top to help confuse them a little bit, like grass clippings or leaves or weeds or something like that, where it's not so noticeable, that'll help. Now, what's helped me with gray fox more than anything is totally get away from the dirt. I bed the trap, and then I'm going with all natural stuff over the trap. I'm leaving the dirt out of the situation because it seems to me that's what the issue's been anyway. So that's really helped me in doing that. And you've asked where to put the trap, how close to the attractor. Because I'm coyote-minded in the way that I go about things, and I'm bobcat-minded the way that I go about things, my traps are too far back to be a good gray fox trapper. When I'm around people that are good at gray fox trapping, they get that thing as close as physically possible to the hole. And I've seen some different ways people have done this, and just knowing a digging reaction of a fox, especially a gray fox, you need to have a hard lip, even if it's just a half inch or whatever, between the hole and where your bed starts. Because if you've got your trap jaw up against the hole, and then you pack that in, let a little dirt go over so they can't see the trap, the first time that they start trying to dig that out, they're going to hit the jaw. So if you have hardness between your hole and the trap bed, a lot of times that'll help you on gray fox. I'll be honest with you, if I've got a gray fox problem, I pull out my cat cage. That's my personal answer to that. I want him out of the way because he's not something I'm really targeting anyway. Okay, you want to know, he asked the question, where do I get the fiberglass poles? I've got some at the local co-op. Yeah, they can order them. They're not that cheap that way, but every now and then I just keep checking in, and people order them, but they don't pick them up. And then they're odd sizes or odd lengths, and they discount them. That's how I got my original ones for the snaring for the beaver. I was at a Pennsylvania convention a couple of years ago and came back with a truckload of them. They wasn't very expensive, and I traded some product for it. You know, that's really not going to help you out. I know that, but that's kind of how I've got them. You can Google fiberglass fence post and, you know, and probably have to order them that way. It's going to seem expensive to do it that way, and it probably is, because really those poles
are nothing but what you would hold up a fiberglass electric fence with. They just don't have the little gadgets on there to hold the wire. So that's what the middle of that is. And yeah, I would recommend a half inch if you're going to be doing coons, beaver, and stuff like that, fox and cats. If you're going to try to use that on coyotes, you need to go up to the 5/8. And that's probably overkill to a point, but I don't think a coyote can do nothing to it. I mean, they're like steel at that size, and they don't bend. So, but that's where I've got them. So you're probably going to have to get them from somewhere that deals with electric fences and Google it. And then he asked a question. I watched your Coyote Chaos video with Matt Jones and said that flat sets are more prone to dig-ups and especially rolling. A lot of times what happens, it's more rolling than dig-ups. But at a flat set, and the only way you're going to know this, if you start running into an issue, if you're using lure A and you're running a bunch of flat sets and you noticed a bunch of rolling and it pops the trap off in the bed, you're just going to have to make a mental note that for whatever reason at that time of the year, that lure is not the best one to use at that particular time because it's causing a roller reaction from that coyote. Any lure that does not get some roller reaction from a coyote, I promise you, is not a very good coyote lure. It may catch trappers very well, but it's not a very good coyote catching lure very well. And the reason the coyotes roll on it, they like it so much they want to wear it like perfume. So they want to get that on their neck. They go down on their shoulder to get their neck on it. Because it's exposed on a normal flat set on the end of a log or on the, you know, under the lip of a rock or under the bumper of a rotted car or a grass clump or whatever like that, it's more exposed to them and easier for them to want to put that on their neck so they can brag about how good they smell. There's ways you can do it where you make the lure where it's inside of something a little bit. Like if you're doing it on grass, put it in the middle of the grass. If you're putting it on the log, try to get it in a crevice where you don't have stuff sticking out on the ends where it's really easier for them to do it. Another way, if you're having issues with this, is you can do just like little mouse holes or rebar holes or whatever. You just beat in a wolf fang stake driver into the ground, wall it out a little bit, put your stuff as deep as you can get it, but you're still not really having any visual there like you would at a dirt hole. And that'll help you a lot on your rolling. It could just be the lure, especially certain times of year, certain lures will do that. Or it could be you've got it too exposed and too open, and it's just too easy for them not to. So you got to make them work for it. But the biggest thing, if you go back and listen to the show where I talked about coyote trap placement, if you can get a grasp on that, most of the time you're picking up the coyote before he has a chance to roll. So if you're in, and a lot of that has to do with coyotes is not having that trap so close up to that attractor. So go back and listen to that show. And I think it will really help you. Now, here's one thing that does fit into the rest of the day show, guys. It's I will, and it's in capitals, I will become a great coyote trapper. And then, you know, he says he likes the radio show and trapping TV, and he uses my lures and baits and videos and articles and all that. But more important than all that stuff is when I read, I will become. That is very different than one day I will, or I hope to, or I'm trying to, or whatever. I will is an action. And that's going to play a lot in to today's show that we're getting ready to get into. But I hope that helps you out, Patrick. I hope you just wear them out, brother. That's what I hope you do, is enjoy the process of all this. Now, the reason I'm going to go into some of the topics I have today, one, if you find yourself in the middle of trapping season or something else is going on at work or you just start getting depressed about how things are going or they're not advancing fast enough or you're in the back of your mind, you got this clawing feeling that, you know, I'm just breathing air and that's about it. Come back to a show like this or go to other stuff online and it'll give you a different perspective. Now, I do not have all the answers on the stuff I'm going to talk about today, but I will tell you I'm very self-educated when it comes to this. To me, this has been very important all the way back to my military days, the stuff we're going to talk about today. It's not a rah-rah, you know, hippies rolling around in the mud and I'm great. If you think you're great, therefore you're great and all that bunch of nonsense. But it's, to me, when I meet people that are successful and I see people that are successful, whether it be in trapping or a business or in a relationship or whatever it is in their life, there's some pretty consistency. And then when I see people that are not successful in trapping and not successful in life and not successful in businesses or their job or relationship, they also have consistencies. And that's what I want to talk about, because no matter what's going on in your world, you have control over that, I promise you, to some extent. You may not be able to control the situations, but you can control yourself and your emotions and your actions from that. Now, what set this off for me? Well, I could say it's beginning of the year and, you know, I wanted to do this for whatever reason. That's not really the reason, guys. My wife's mom is in hospice. And most of y'all are going to know exactly what that means. So it puts you in a mindset of understanding or bringing mortality to a lot closer level in your thinking. Now, we went and visited her the first time, and we're walking through a hospice unit. And hospice is basically where they just make people, if you don't know what it is, it's a medical place. And these were some of the most amazing nurses I've ever been around. People go there for their last days, and they make it as gentle for them and the family. But we're walking, trying to get to the right room, and a lot of these doors are open. And you see, I saw several people that were at the last day or days of their life. And it just made me, it makes you think a little bit. What was their life like? What did they not do that they wish they would have done? You know, did they meet whatever their dreams and goals were of their life? And you may be thinking this has nothing to do with trapping. It has everything to do with trapping. And it has everything to do with everything. And after seeing that, it's just been kind of on my mind a little bit. And I'm going to be playing in between me talking some different, just motivational type things. And whatever your political, religious, preconceived ideas, for this one show, guys, do me a favor. Put it in a box. Put it on the shelf. Don't think of anything. Don't be trying to dismiss or agree with or anything during. Just kind of, especially on the motivational things, listen to what's being said. Because you hear a lot of hoopla all the time. And it doesn't really do anything. And the biggest reason for that is humans, by their nature, will screw themselves every chance they get. And here's what I mean by that. Most people live, and I catch myself doing it all the time, so I'm not preaching here. You live on autopilot. You get up at a certain time, you eat breakfast or you don't eat breakfast. You go to work or you go to your business or you go trapping or you go hunting or it's summertime and you go fishing on the weekends and you have lunch. Then you go do something else and you come back and you have dinner. Then you watch TV and you go to bed and it's just over and over and over. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. I mean, keep a journal for a month of what your life really is and then go back and look at it and you'll probably not be as excited about it as you thought you were. Because you'll see this, autopilot. And another thing that a human being does, and I think it's a coping mechanism that's dangerous to the human psyche, and this pertains particularly to trapping and particularly to just being a well-balanced human being. Someone says, "How are you doing today?" And you go, "Fine." What does that mean? Because when you say that out loud, you're not as smart as you think you are because your subconscious part of your brain does not understand truth from fiction. That's why when you watch certain war movies and stuff like that, you get excited or your adrenaline gets running when something's going on. Your brain doesn't know that that's not you up there. That's the reason advertising the way that you see it, like on the humane commercials where they got the little puppy dogs in the cage that gets you emotional and stuff like that. That is why, because your brain does not know how to decipher. Even though as a trapper, logically, you know 99% of that stuff is scams, you still kind of get sucked into it subconsciously, and there's nothing you can do about it. But when you say fine, how are you doing today? Fine. Your brain is hearing fine. You're giving yourself permission to be on autopilot. Now, when I was in Alaska in the 6th Infantry Division, we had a captain, West Point graduate, and let me tell you, he aggravated the snot out of me. And if you're listening, Captain Gunther, Dixon Gunther, I'm not talking about you, but you do know this individual, and it's not Dennis Murphy either. Y'all probably know by what I'm getting to say who this guy was. Because of my time and life at that point, and I was actually in an office job for a little bit in the Army, it was not exactly making me the happiest every day to go to an office. And it was a weird thing for me to be doing. I didn't really understand how I was supposed to be doing what I was doing. And it was just a weird situation. Well, it's not something that I enjoyed doing either. But every day you would ask Captain so-and-so how he's doing, and never, ever once did he say fine. And everybody else would say fine. He would say, outstanding, how are you doing today? I'm just great, how are you doing today? Can you believe how awesome the day is? He would say stuff like that. And in my mindset, in my place, in my life at that time, that aggravated the snot out of me. Because it was, I was thinking, what a false, bogus, superficial, whatever. Because how in the world could he be great every day? Outstanding every day. But you know, he was one of the happiest officers that I dealt with. And I think, I don't know if he was doing this on purpose for the reason I'm telling you about this, but it's something, every time someone asked him that, because every day he'd start the day like that, and he'd have some very positive thing about how great things are, he was telling himself that things are outstanding, things are good, things are this, that, and the other. It's a lot different than fine. And I'll give you an example of why this is important to trapping. How's your trap line going? Fine. Is it really? I mean, when you think about that, is it really? Are you so out of shape that you're not enjoying it, but it's still fine? The catch is not where you want it, but it's still fine. You realized halfway through the season that you got the wrong kind of traps that aren't doing what you wanted, but it's still fine. So it kind of gives you this, I don't know, autopilot. So when you hear it's fine, you know there's no action in that whatsoever. So you continue on doing what you're doing, and you end up getting bored and doesn't enjoy it as much and stuff like that. But if you're a trapper and someone asks you how's your trap line going, just be honest about it. If it's not doing good, you can say it's not doing good. If it's going great, don't go fine. Go, man, it's outstanding. The catch isn't exactly what I wanted it to be or what I thought it would be, but I'm having so much fun. It's a mental outlook of what I'm trying to get people to understand. Because mentally, you can be either negative or positive. And I'm going to give some, and I just quickly wrote down some stuff that, if I can find my notes real quick, that I want trappers to think about. Like I said, put whatever you think on the line, and the reason that to me this is important, and I'm not perfect in this by any situation, I don't want to be on a hospice bed next year or 50 years from now, and while you're sitting there and you're waiting to spend your last days in a situation like that, you're thinking about what you could have done, which is what most people are doing in that hospice hospital and I will put money on that if you could get them to be honest with you. It's a sad way to live, but on autopilot, that's the way that you live. And here's some things that I'm going to go, and this may sound negative to you guys, but it is not, because it is how you process this information that I'm giving you. And this, a lot of this comes from my own personal thought process of seeing success and not seeing success. One of the biggest things we have in our culture today is people think, I think about something, so that's action. That is not action. Thinking of that, most environmentalists think about the environment, so they think they're environmentalists. A lot of trappers think about trapping all the time, but do very little of it, and they think that they're trappers. Thinking it does not mean it. Action. You got to think about things in terms of action. I am trapping, therefore I am a trapper. I'm getting better, so I'm becoming a better trapper. I've got goals and everything in this, so I'm becoming a better trapper. That's where you need to be. The other thing that non-successful people have, where you don't find it very much in successful people, is victim. If I was younger, I could do this, victim. If I was older, I could go do this, victim. If I lived in another state where they had more fur, victim. If I had the money that guy had, victim. If I had a better car, that's a victim. If the fur prices were better, victim. Do you see how that works? Now, what's a successful person think? How do they bring action into their daily life? I'm too out of shape to trap. Well, get in shape. I don't have the money. Get the money. And someone out there saying, well, it's not that easy. Oh, it is that easy. It's that simple. It's just not easy. But successful people in trapping are not victims. I don't know of anybody that's successful in trapping or trapping business that are victims. They're not negative. They don't live in a world of hedonism. And hedonism is where you're thinking about short term all the time. That is not where you need to be. You need to be thinking long term all the time. Short term doesn't get you anywhere. Now here's another example of hedonism. You buy cheap equipment because you're thinking about the money you're spending at the moment, or if somebody could steal it. When and people talk about theft, so they let other people relegate their life on what equipment they use. When that cheaper equipment, most of the time, if someone's being honest, costs them for year after year after year. That's hedonism. That's thinking about right now. Another thing is, you go into a beaver swamp, or you got five beaver swamps in your area, and you go in and you kill every single beaver in there, just so you've got a really cool picture to put up on Facebook or something. And then next year, you don't have any beaver. Hedonism. Short-term thinking. Hedonism's not talking about not worshiping God. It's just a term. It's short-term thinking. Now, someone that's successful in their trapping is going to be thinking about the processes of that trapping. They're going to be thinking of not just today, tomorrow, next week, or even this season. They're going to be thinking about down the road. You know, if you need more money to get better equipment, even if you had to work a second job, you're better off. If you need to farm your animals or certain species of your animals around your place, that's being smart. When I was out trapping at Red's, he wouldn't let me touch beaver. He was the only one around there trapping beaver. He farmed those beaver, and he kept a huge number up every year because he farmed them. Now, he could have went in there and killed most of them and then had to let them build back up over 3 or 4 years. He was thinking long term. Red's a very successful trapper because of that. Red thinks in long term on a lot of different things, and most successful people do. You've got to think in terms beyond today, because if not, you're just running around in little bitty circles all the time, and you're not going out for anything that really matters. Now, this is a big one in successful and non-successful. Guys, if you're an envious person, you need to stop it. If you say you can't help it, you're lying to yourself. Envy is one of the most devastating things a trapper can have, or a business person can have, or anybody in relationship can have. Envy is evil. Not just because it's in the Bible, but because what it does to that person. And here's envy. Envy is if somebody makes more money than you on fur, you're envious of them. That means you start thinking in terms that are not productive. If someone has more money than you, you start making excuses because they have more money than you, and that's why you couldn't do what they do. But if you had the money, you could do what they could do. No, you wouldn't. If somebody has more animals in a different state, if someone has better traps, more traps, a better truck, yada, yada, yada. Envy is so, and you see it all over trapping. If anybody thinks anybody else is kind of getting a better life from their trapping or their trapping business, they do everything in their power. They burn all their energy on trying to bring that other person down. A successful person, on the other hand, is not envious. If you make more money than me in lures, congratulations. If you catch more fur than me, I am proud to death of you. I'm not going to be jealous that you caught more animals. That doesn't even register. I don't understand why people are like that. But when I see people that are envious, they make decisions that are not rational to try to level the playing field that they have no control over. So what they do is they stay on a lower plane of whatever it is they're doing and they're envious about than they would if they would take action and just go ahead and do it. So if you catch yourself being envious, or you're around people that's envy of everybody else, you need to just leave those people alone. They are not going to help you in any way whatsoever. Everybody's got an internal snooze button. Trappers, non-trappers, makes no difference. The internal snooze button is deadly to a trapper. Because here's what that means. If you've got an internal snooze button and say you need to get up in the morning to run traps before school, it's too easy to hit the internal snooze button in your head and then go ahead and hit the snooze button on the clock. I hardly ever use an alarm clock myself. I really don't need to. It may be 20 minutes one way or the other, something like that. It seems to work. When I do use one, they scare me to death because I'm not used to using one. But I know that people use alarm clocks to get up, and it's easy to hit that snooze button. Think about that the next time you're thinking about what you need to do on your trap line. I need to put in some more sets at the end of the day. The autopilot part of the human brain goes, let's just hit the snooze button on that. We'll do that tomorrow. Or you're trying to start a business and you need to write content for the internet. It's easy to hit the snooze button because there's no action there. If you feel or know that you need to do something, there's a lot of psychology about what I'm getting ready to tell you. You've got 5 seconds. 5 seconds. If you know that you should, that you need to put more traps at the end of the day, and you're tired and you're cold and you want to go home and you've already got too much to skin, but you know to keep your numbers up to meet your goal that you need to put in so many new traps a day, and you automatically go, you've got 5 seconds from that thought to make action to do that. Either start driving the right direction, start making plans on where those traps are going to go, and start putting action involved in that. At that, if you know you need to be making snares and you come in and you're tired at the end of the day and you sit down on the couch and the TV's on and it's something you've probably seen 5,500 times anyway and you already know the plot, and you go, well, I need to go out there and make some more snares or extension cables or dynamo traps or whatever, you've got 5 seconds. If you don't do it in that 5 seconds, it's the next day, the next week, the next month. And that's the most people live on this snooze all the time. If you ever wonder, people always ask me, how do you do so much stuff? I mean, between the lures and the baits and the books and the DVDs and Wolfer Nation and Trapping Radio and all the emails and all the people that I talk to every day, how in the world And then I spend all those hours out there playing in my yard because I like growing stuff. How does Clint do all that? I don't live on snooze control. Everybody's got that same 24 hours in a day. The problem is most people go through it at autopilot. If I realize that I hadn't put something up on Wolfer Nation in a while and I need to, I automatically right then, if physically possible, I want to within 5 seconds go start that article. If I know that I need to go grind some stuff up and it's physically possible, I'm not over in Chattanooga or something like that, or it's something where I can't do it, I know in 5 seconds I need to physically get my big butt up and start heading that direction. Because once I do that, something starts to happen. You start getting momentum and you start getting stuff done. And the more you get done, the more excited that you get about getting stuff done because you're starting to get ahead. But most people don't do that. They get up, they go to work, or they go to trap, they go to work, they come home, they piddle around a little bit, they watch TV, and they go to bed, and they go, I ain't got time. Bull crap. Unless you're literally working double shifts, and then you're doing something on top of that, you've got time. And it's the same way when you're hardcore out trapping somewhere. Everybody's got the same amount of time of an hour. If you've got an hour and I've got an hour, we should be able to do the same thing, but it doesn't happen that way because you're not prepared. You're not knocking off and getting onto yourself every time you want to reach into your brain and hit that snooze button. You cannot let that happen to you.
Fear. It's not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity, Qatar. Now do not misunderstand me. Danger. It's very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
So deciding as you look at your life, as you look into the future and say, what fears am I holding on to? What fears that I'm allowing to imprison me? That's keeping me from breaking out. That's keeping me from living up to my true potential. That's keeping me from really being happy. That's keeping me from having a sense of adventure and excitement in my life. What's keeping me from controlling my destiny? What fears that I'm giving that permission to? Notice what I said. We must give our permission to fear to immobilize us. Because whatever discomfort you experience, whatever challenges or difficulty that it is, you got to handle it. You got to go up in there and wrestle with it. Will it be easy? No. Will it be challenging? Yes. But that's just what you must go through in order to get where you want to go. And guess what? You are strong enough to do it. You're strong enough, and your life is worth whatever you have to go through. You can either live your dreams or live your fears. And I think the majority of people actually are not living their dreams, but are living their fears. So I want to ask you a question.
What are your fears? What are you scared of? Because we all have fears. We all have something that's blocking us, that's holding us back. And as we begin to look at life, what we realize is that the reason that most people are not living out their true potential, not doing all of the things that they would really like to do, is because of fear. Some people call fear false evidence or expectations appearing real.
Everyone is frightened of something. Or maybe fear of death, fear of loneliness, fear of not being loved, fear of not becoming famous, successful, or also fear of not having physical security. There are so many multiple forms of fear. Now, to go into this problem really very deeply, can the mind, and which includes the brain, be really, fundamentally, be free of fear?
You've been wrestling in your sleep. Have you ever woke up and your bed was wet? The bed is all torn, just like you've been in a fight, because your mind has not rested. Your body went to sleep, but your mind is still caught up in a warfare. Your mind is the battleground. Touch somebody and tell them the enemy's after your mind.
Wasn't how we live our lives is our gift to God. What kind of gift are you giving? And what kind of gift could you give if fear wasn't an issue? I'm saying, you can have fears. Don't surrender. Don't let your fears have you. You're more than capable of making this your decade.
The differential of somebody winning and losing has nothing to do with their genetics, has nothing to do with their potential. It's their perseverance, always showing up. Person that's willing to gamble it. If you show up, then you have a chance. If you don't show up, the outcome's simple. Never there, like an audition. If you show up to the audition, there's a chance you might get the part. If you're too scared to show up and you sit back at home, wondering what if and everything else, no one in hell is gonna call you an opportunity because you weren't present. The winners always show up. They're willing to lose in order to gain. Big mental thing there, guys. This body, as great as you are, as sharp as you make the arsenal, it can't do anything if you don't have confidence in yourself. We all fall down in life. The question is, who gets back up? You go after and you give it all you have. If you lose, at least you try, man. I failed. It's 10 times more of a man than someone said, what if? Because what if never went to the arena? When you guys find a fear, that fear will either create you or destroy you. I love fear. The reason why? Behind every fear is a person you want to be. Fear is self-imposed, meaning it doesn't exist. You create it, you can destroy it too. It's an intangible. If you face your fears, guys, you will realize it's not that big. And once you face it, you go, oh my God, man, I spent all this time running from it. It was so small. If I just faced it, my God, not only did I face it, I beat it back. Energy is never lost, transferred. That negative energy, that fear, is destroyed. It comes back in as confidence. Like, what else am I capable of? What else am I holding my back from that I'm capable of more? What am I running from when I don't need to? What else can I overcome? You face your fears, you become the person you want to be. You run from your fears, you're not living. You're alive, but you're not digging in. The freedom, you're not running the day. The day's running you. You always be the fucking servant, not the master, guys. You find a fear, the quickest, the easiest way you can beat it is initially, right when it comes in. If you allow it to sit, it will grow roots and start breaking you down, destroying the potential of the person you can be. Again, the champions, guys, it's not their potential, it's not their genetics. It's their perseverance to always show up, always willing to fail, because in failure, that's part of success. Success is not, you know, a marathon of life with just ups. Success is formulated through failures, through facing your fears, through falling down and getting back up. That's what creates the champion. Success does not define us. We define the success.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Did you listen to what that just said? If not, pause, go back and listen to that again. Fear, and I don't mean in the superficial, I'm a man type fear. I'm talking about fear is the reason most people never succeed in hardly anything that they do, and they just coast. Fear is a terrible way to live. And most people, when you ask them if they live in fear, they're going to tell you no. Then you start asking them, well, if you could do something, or let me back up a little bit. If you're doing something in life that you don't want to do, and you're going to work somewhere you don't want to go to do a task that you're absolutely bored to death with for people that could care less if you're there or not, because you're in a cog of a wheel, which is a lot of people, because they have different things they think they've got to be responsible and grown up and yada, 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 and everything that's been propaganda brainwashed people in this country in the last, since industrial age. They believe that. That's living in fear. They know they don't want to get up and go to that work. They know they don't like the work. They know they don't like the people they're working for and this, that, and the other. And they know down deep that they could do something else. But there's some risk involved. There's maybe getting out of your comfort zone involved. Maybe it's learning how to write or do videos or learn a computer, learn how to do an internet business, learn how to make fleshing knives and you're not a metal person. Learn how to work wood if you're going to make fleshing beams or boards or whatever it is you decide to do. Most people will just go, no, I don't know about that. I got to spend the money and I don't have the time and I don't know how to do that. And what if somebody didn't like it? What if I spend the money and they don't sell? What about this? What about that? Well, if I change what I'm doing on my trap line, I may not catch as much. And fear. That's what that is. That's fear. In the basic primal way, that is fear. If you live that way, it's like I said, it's a sad way to go. Because no matter what you do, down deep, you know you're not doing the best that you can, and that eats people alive. And all of a sudden, you're 70 years old, on that hospice bed, staring at the ceiling with your mouth open, thinking, I don't know what, but you're not thinking about that job that you didn't like, that you spent almost your entire life doing for people that could care less and don't even remember your name by now, because you're a cog in their wheel. That's where fear puts people. And it's the same with trapping. They don't change. They don't learn. They don't push. They don't go out of state. Let me say that again. They don't go out of state when they want to because there's unknowns and that's scary. They don't try the long line. They don't try to see how many animals, set a goal for 1,000 coon or 300 coyotes or 100 bobcats. They don't know all of the answers. There's too many things that can go wrong. I don't have the right truck. I don't have the right traps. I don't have the right ground. What if the weather's bad? What if the fur market goes down? What if, what if, what if, what if? And fear. That's all that is fear. So when you catch yourself thinking in that manner, think about really what it is you're thinking about. What is the worst that can happen? Because it hardly ever does. And if you live in a state of fear all the time when it comes to your trap in your life or your business, every time you get a little nervous about something, be a man and cowboy up to yourself and realize what you're doing and write that down. Well, if I do this, this could happen. Because most people that are brought up in a fear culture, which ours is, they go from, well, if I take some money out of savings and I go on an out-of-state trip and I don't make as much as I thought, or it's a complete bust, in their mind, within 10 seconds, they're living under a bridge in a box and their family's left them. Now, how realistic is that? But that fear of something that's probably not going to happen, and it's never as bad as you think it is, that is what is going to keep people from doing things that they need to do. Because human beings, by nature, are creative people. All people are creative in different ways. And that, to me, that's what is so destructive when I talk about factory jobs and plant jobs and stuff like that. You're not allowed to do any of that. So you've got all these years of not being able to be creative. But when if you get away from the fear and you go out trapping, you start trying different things, how do you think it is that I come up with all these different products and ways to do things and that and other? I ain't afraid of nothing when it comes to trapping. Because I've done hit bottom too many times that it's not that big a deal. I've never ended up under the bridge in a box. I've had to go get extra jobs. I've had to do stuff like that to make money. But that's no big deal. It didn't kill me. It's not that big a deal. But I'm not going to live on cruise control, and I'm not going to live in fear. And if you catch yourself in that fear, you've got to consciously get out of that, because it will kill you. Because life is not a trial run, and that's the way I see most people living their lives. Most trappers treat their trapping the same way. You know, one of these days, don't ever even say that phrase, one of these days, because that's fear-based and it's never going to happen. One of these days when I retire, I'm going to do this. Well, are you going to be healthy when you're... I've seen Red O'Hearn jump all over a policeman because he said, in 5 years when I retire, I'm going to go trapping. And Red looks at him dead in the eye and said, are you going to be alive in 5 years? Guy didn't know what to say. It was very uncomfortable, I'll tell you that. Red didn't back down an inch, and he didn't smile. And he made that cop sit there in front of him at a convention that had no idea that he was going to have to look inside of his life that way and make a decision whether he was going to not do what he wanted to do because he was so worried about something else and he just didn't think things out. So if you're thinking about someday, are you going to be healthy or alive? When that day comes, you don't know. So you can't live your life that way. I'm going to talk about two things real quick, and then I'm going to go to another one of these motivational things. And again, listen to it more than once. And listen to it with an open mind when you listen to them. And I'm a big believer... And this is going to sound really weird to a lot of trappers. I'm a big believer in meditation. And the reason I started looking at this several years ago is because everybody that was super successful, when you got to digging in their bios, because I study people like that, because I want to know why they think the way that they think. Self-education. Way more important than anything else you're going to do in life. Self-education. So I'm reading this, and this thing of meditation come up over and over and over again. Now for trapping, I've got two ways that I somewhat meditate. One is I spend at least 20 minutes before I really start the day with no TV, no music, no computer, nothing. And I just think about what it is that I need to do. And then once I think about that, I do my best. And there's an app that you can get on your smartphone called Headspace. I suggest you look at it if you don't have any idea what meditation is. And it's not Buddhism or something like that. Once I consciously think about what I need to do, then for about 10, 15 minutes, I try not to think about anything but breathing. And most of the time, when I'm done with that time period, I've thought of different ways to do stuff that I promise you I would not have come up with if I wouldn't have taken that time. Because trying not to think about stuff gives your brain some space. Now that sounds squirrely to a lot of you. You can make fun of me if you want to. Don't really care. I know it works. The other way that I meditate, if you want to call it that, and I'm not sure that it is. A lot of these things that you've heard me put on Trapping Radio where they're motivational, I've got all of that in an MP3 player. I've got certain songs that radiate with me a certain way, and I'm not going to tell you what they are because they're mine. And you, I guarantee you, if you think about it, you'll have different things. There's been many a day, and I don't do this all the time, but there's been many a day trapping, especially when I've been pushing myself really, really hard for days after days after days. And you start wanting to go into autopilot. And you start wanting to hit snooze control. And you start just wanting to get things done so you can get back and get in bed. And you're thinking about, you know, not just pure, in that state of mind, aggressive type trapping. The second way I'd meditate is I would listen to one of those, these things like you hear it on this show tonight, and then I'd have a couple of songs that I would think about what I needed to do or why I was doing what I was doing or what the goal was. So it's not, quote, meditation because of, I'm not trying to clear my mind when I'm doing this. I'm trying to get focused when I do this. So it may not even be meditation. I don't know. Most of the time, no matter how tired, and I've done this a lot in Texas, especially after lunch when you're worn out, you've done been at it for 6 hours, you still got 5 hours to go, you need to push yourself, you need to do all this type stuff, or from road trapping, I will stop, pull over, and I will listen to these, and then I'll finish that on the type music that really motivates me. And by the time that gets done, I'm about a frothing at the mouth, raging lunatic that if you tried to get me not to trap, there'd probably be a 45 pulled on you. That's the mental state that I'm at. Now, that's probably not meditation, but let me tell you, just make, when I feel myself starting to come up with reasons why I should quit, I fill my brain with reasons why I should not quit. And if you were to try that and figure out the keys to make that happen for you, you will be absolutely amazed. So when someone asks me, how do you do what you do in Texas? Well, I may be running part of the pasture on the fences, so I'm looking at 6,000 acres of fences. I'm running all these traps. I'm looking for sign. I'm putting new traps out every single day. I put out sets in Texas till the day before I leave. Every day. No questions, no exceptions. And when I start getting burnt out, I've got to do that little ritual. And it's a mental thing because mental is way more important than anything else. So keep that in mind. Mental when you're out trapping. Mental when you're thinking about your life. Mental when you're thinking about business or relationships or anything else. You've got to get laser focused on what you're going to be. Or you're going to be on cruise control. And let me tell you. People that go through life and they cruise, it's because it's easy. That's the reason most people do it. If they're honest with themselves, they cruise. I wish I had a business, but maybe after I finish watching TV. I'd like to write a trapping book. Yeah, but I really don't know how to write. I think I can make a DVD, but I don't know how to edit. Mental. All that's easy. In today's world, we live in the most amazing time in mankind. You can do whatever it is you want to do. Anything that you want to do. There's tools everywhere. There's no more gatekeepers. There's no more of that. You can do whatever it is that you want to do as long as you got the focus and the mental capacity. And if you don't have the mental capacity, then you freaking learn it. That's what's being successful. And as you go out through this next year, I want you to practice that, because when you go to trapping, you'll start seeing signs you've never seen. You'll start looking at locations like you've never thought about them before. You'll start questioning why you're doing this, even though you've done it for 20 years. You're going to start questioning your equipment, your sets, your lures. You're going to start questioning your whole methodology over and over and over again. And that allows you to drill down. So all of a sudden, things starts clicking. And so when people always say, well, it's easy for him because it wasn't easy for anybody to start with, whether it be trapping or anything else. No one's born knowing how to be a trapper. Nobody. No one's born knowing how to be a better husband or a business owner or an employee or nothing. Nobody knows that. It's not easy for anybody. What's easy for people that live in complete cruise control throughout their life and they're trapping is to look at other people and go, well, if I had what he had, or if I knew what he knew, or if I've been where he's been, I could do that. Without ever thinking that they were exactly where you were at one point in time. So just keep that in mind. Now I want to talk a little bit about goals, guys. This is a boring topic if you let it be boring, but it's not. Now I'm going to tell you why goals are important. And it's not the way that most people think it is. Humans are not that complicated. You set goals from the very end of where it is that you want to be. In the military, this is the way you plan a mission. And I may have went over this before, so I'm going to do it quickly. If you need to set up an ambush at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's where the planning starts. Then you work yourself backwards till the time that you're at right now. You don't start from where you're at now and try to work yourself up to the ambush at 2 o'clock, because it never works that way. So at 2, you know that's when the ambush is, because the bad guys are going to come through and you're going to do the dirty deed. So at 1 or 12, you need to be in position. It takes you 2 hours to get there, so you need to leave at 10. You know that someone may get hurt or you may get ambushed, so you need to give yourself another hour. So you back that to 9. Then you need to have inspections. You back that to 8. You need to do this, and you back it all the way down to the time period from where you're at now. You don't start at where you're at and go to where you want to go. That's where most people screw up on goals. You need to think about where it is you want to be. If you want to catch 1,000 coon, your goal needs to be 1,000 coon, and you backwards. How many a day? How do I go through the task of catching that many a day? What type of equipment do I need for that many a day to catch the 1,000? And you work yourself backwards all the way. Even if it's 3 years out and you know that you need 600 traps to do that in your area, and you don't have 600 traps. You may have to buy traps for 2 or 3 years. That's fine. But you hammer those skills over and over again to start from where you want to be to where you're at now. If you wanted to be in the trap supply business, you need to picture yourself as somebody like Tim Caven or F&T or Sterling or Cumberland. If that's where you want to be, that's where you got to start seeing yourself at that exact moment, and you start working yourself back from that to where you are now. Think about that next time you start thinking about goals, but that's not even the reason you should set goals. Now, this is where some people are going to get a little upset with me, but what I'm talking about is basic human chemistry right here and why goals are so important. I set goals for all kind of crazy things. How many bottles of lure am I going to make today? How many articles am I going to get up this week on the internet? Am I going to make a video this year or not? Or how much time am I going to spend and figure out on the co-op idea I talked to you about earlier? Different things like that. Different goals. And I break those goals down, and I write them down, as silly as that sounds to some people, into smaller goals. And here's the reason I do that. Because I'm a human being. I've got a brain. Brain works on chemistry. Why do you think Facebook is what Facebook is today? It's a chemical reaction of the brain. And I'm going to give you an example of this and why this is so powerful, because there's nothing you can do about it. There's nobody that's so smart that they're above this, so if you think you are, you're kidding yourself. You catch a black coyote for an example, and you do it in a set that you've come up with a lure that you've made, in a place that's not even supposed to have coyotes. And you're excited about that. So you share it with your friends. You post it on Facebook. Here's where I'm asking you to be honest with yourself, because grown men will say they're not like this. And I'm calling BS on that, because it's human chemistry. When you post something like that on Facebook and you see you get a like, do you know what's happening in your brain right then? If someone makes a comment, good job, man, how did you do that? And you put your post in there. Do you know what just happened in your brain at that point? You had serotonin. It's a chemical. It's the same chemical, guys, that drug abusers get when they take drugs. It's the same chemical when you have sex. It's the same chemical when you have a big bacon fatty cheeseburger. Same chemical. It's a reward chemical. It's something that makes you feel good. That's the reason it's hard to get off drugs. It's hard to eat right. It's hard for an American male not to want to have sex. And it's impossible for someone to post on Facebook, and when they get a response or a like, they get a small chemical reaction, which is good. That's the way God made us. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But goals can be the same thing. And then it's proven. There's been a lot of studies on this. And this is why I think the goal things is so important. If I set a goal to make Unfair Advantage lure today and 35 gallons of Federales, that's Monday. Tuesday, we're going to bottle and label the Federales and Unfair Advantage. Wednesday, I need to work on the Trapping radio show, and then I need to go in and, you know, make some gator bait. I'm writing those down. It's on a list. Every time when I make that Unfair Advantage, I physically go over to that list and I mark through it. I get the same chemical response as if I was taking a drug. Maybe not as massive, but it's pretty powerful. And you don't even know it a lot of times. Then in a few hours, because I finish the next task, I scratch it off. And then I scratch the next one off. From me doing stuff like that in the lure business, it makes you and compels you to get your next fix, because that's what it is. And if you don't think that way, take away your kid's cell phone and don't let him go to Facebook. He will go epileptic. He or she will go crazy. That's the reason when people that are really into Facebook, the first thing they do when they get out of the morning is turn it on and look at it. And then they get their shot of drugs that's in their head. And then they're on break at work. They got to look at it to get that shot. They do this all the time. They're drug addiction. That can be negative or that can be positive. If you do it in goals, that can be positive. If you know you need, if you're going out to raccoon trap and you want to get out 200 FB2s for raccoons, well, you need to know how many of those you can set between when you leave the house and 10 o'clock, write it down. From 10 to lunch, write it down. From lunch to 2, write it down. From that to dark. So when you go back, write those things off. And you will turn into a junkie of success, because you are physically feeding your own addiction of your own chemical responses in your brain, because that's the way God made people. So if you do something good for somebody, you also get that type of thing. That's why people that are positive, good things happen to them all the time. And they're positive all the time is because there's a chemical reaction going in their brain that makes them feel good. There's also a chemical reaction in your brain that you do not like, but is also addicting if you're negative. You can choose, because we understand science enough now, to either feed yourself a positive chemical to be a chemical junkie or negative chemical junkie. Totally up to you. But that's why I think goals are so important. That's why they should be in little bitty niches. That's why you don't write them down and forget about them. That's why when you finish a task, you cross it out. Do that for a month and watch what happens. You will want to finish the next task because you want your next little fix. And that's why goals are so important. Now, I want to finish this show, and I'm not sure if this is going to come across as negative or positive. I don't know. All I know is trappers mean a ton to me. There's only really a few tribes in America that I'm very positive about. Trappers are one. Gun nuts are another one. Libertarians are another one. Permaculturists are another one. Besides that, I don't really get excited about people. If you're not in those tribes with me, not really interested. I don't think the way that you do. We don't have the same things in common. I don't anything like that. I'm not really concerned about people that aren't in those tribes and the way that they're going about their daily life, because it has nothing to do with me. because I don't really have anything to do with them. I'm going to be nice to them, but it's just not my thing. Now, with trappers, I want trappers to be so freaking successful at their trapping that they're just ecstatic about what they do. Not ashamed about it, not discouraged about it, not wishful about it. Don't do it, you know, don't live through autopilot about it, but I'm talking about being a lunatic freaking trapper. Successful lunatic freaking trapper. That's what I want people that are trappers to be. I also want trappers to be successful in whatever it is they're doing. Business, family, all that. I want them to be so successful. So when I think of shows like this, it may not be how to set a trap. It may not be how to set a snare or how to read sign or find a location or something like that. To me, this is way more important. Because, and not that I'm a know-it-all, guys, because I'm not. I learn stuff all the time. But when I'm at conventions and I see trappers that you can see life has beat them down, and they're embarrassed about what they caught or didn't catch, and they're in this mindset of one day and all that, it saddens me. It really does. When I'm around trappers that are negative about everything all the time, it saddens me that some member of my tribe is that freaking miserable in life. Because someone that's always negative, they're just miserable. And you know it as well as I do. You can see it in their eyes. That saddens me. Our culture, the way it is today, has got people thinking that that's what it is to live. Because culture is on cruise control. People are on mostly cruise control. And when you see somebody that's not on cruise control, that puts you outside of your comfort level, and you try to most of the time bring those people back into not being out of cruise control and find reasons why they're fake or they're stealing or they're lying or they're a crook or whatever, because you don't want to go that. And I want trappers to not be on cruise control. I want them to be successful. It would tickle me to death if trappers were so successful that the only thing I could afford was to bring my Jeep to a convention or my 2004 Chester the Molester van to a convention, and everybody else shows up in Beamers and brand new F-350 trucks. That would tickle me to death. That's probably not going to happen. But the more trappers that I meet that aren't on cruise control, love it. To me, that's because they're living something that's important to them. They're doing something that's important to them. And that's why it's important to me. So when I do shows like this, just understand where that's coming from. So my last thing that I want to do is I want you to go out there and be a lunatic in society. Be successful. Not cruise control. If you don't like the world that you're in because you're around a bunch of negative people, you're around a bunch of negative influences, you're in a job that's just basically killing you, you're letting fear stopping you from a business, do whatever, be a lunatic, successful person. You know, be proud to be different when it's like that. Not different where everybody dresses like they're in old clothes because they think it's cool in college. Not that type of different. I'm talking about being truly successful in anything that you do. And if we can, if just a small percentage of the people listening to this show get that, that's way more successful to me than anything I can teach somebody about trapping. So as you're going throughout the year, just think about these things. If you catch yourself being negative, stop it. If you need to learn something different, learn it. If you don't know a skill, beat on that craft until it becomes second nature. That is what being a really good trapper, in my opinion, is, and a good person. So I hope everybody has a good 2015. And I'm having trouble saying that because I still think it's like 1980. But everybody have a good 2015. And we will get back to more of a regular show next week. Y'all go out and y'all tear the critters up, boys.
Most people,
they raise a family, they earn a living, and then they die. They stop growing, they stop working on themselves, they stop stretching, they stop pushing themselves. That a lot of people like to complain, but they don't want to do anything about their situation. And most people don't work on their dreams. Why? One is because of fear, the fear of failure. What if things don't work out? And the fear of success. What if they do and I can't handle it? These are not risk takers.
You spend so much time with other people. You spend so much time trying to get people to like you. You know other people more than you know yourself. You studied them. You know about them. You want to hang out like them. You want to be just like them. And you know what? You've invested so much time in them, you don't know who you are. I challenge you to spend time by yourself.
It's necessary that you get the losers out of your life if you want to live your dream. But people who are running toward their dreams, life has a special kind of meaning.
When you become the right person, what you do is you start separating yourself from other people. You begin to have a certain uniqueness. As long as you're following other people, as long as you're being a copycat, you will never ever be the best copycat in the world, but you will be the best you could be. I'm telling you to define your value.
That everybody won't see it. That everybody won't join you, that everybody won't have the vision. It's necessary to know that you are an uncommon breed. It's necessary that you align yourself with people and attract people into your business who are hungry, people who are unstoppable and unreasonable, people who are refusing to leave life just as it is and who want more. The people that are living their dream of finding winners to attach themselves to. The people that are living their dreams are the people that know that if it's going to happen, it's up to them.
If you want to be more successful, if you want to have and do stuff you ain't never done before, number two, I'm asking you to invest in you. To invest in you.
Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. That you don't have to go through life being a victim. And even though you face disappointments, you have to know within yourself that I can do this. Even if no one else sees it for me, I must see it for myself.
What did you say to the kid? It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit. Keep moving forward. How much you can take. And keep moving forward. Get up.
Get up. And don't ever give up.
We can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us. Or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. One inch at a time.
To be able at any moment to sacrifice what you are for what you will become. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. I don't do well in math. You're right. You ain't never studied. I'm not good in writing because you have never written before.
Talent you have naturally. Skill is only developed by hours and hours and hours of beating on your craft.
If you are not making someone else's life better, then you're wasting your time.
Don't cry to give up. Cry to keep going. Don't cry to quit. You already in pain. You already hurt. Get a reward from it.
Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not point your finger saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Because every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. So now you got to go out and show them that I'm a different creature now.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
The 17th chapter of St. Luke, it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure.
Now, what are you going to do?
Everybody want to be a beast. Everybody want to be a beast.
Until it's time to do what beasts do. A part of being a beast is to hunt.
A real man in the dark, when nobody's watching, he putting in work. A real man in the dark, when nobody's watching, he putting in work.